Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report, with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. And I go to an obituary in The Economist of the death not of Che Guevara, who died October 9, 1967, but of the non-commissioned officer, Company A, in the Bolivian military army, who was tasked by his commander and eventually by the president of the country, Barrientos, to murder, to shoot Che Guevara, who had surrendered, who had been captured in a chase through the Bolivian jungle. Professor, I pass this story on from the obituary writer Ann Rowe at The Economist magazine. I spoke of this to Ann, and we reflected where we were, because we're old enough to remember October 9th, 1967, and Che's position in the world at the time. He was a man who was educated out of Argentina. He wrote very well. He traveled to Mexico, met with the Castros, and the legend begins, traveling with the Castros, the unlikely success of the Castro revolution in Cuba, leading to turmoil and upset and unacceptable conduct by the revolutionaries of mass executions. However, Che was restless and eventually traveled to Bolivia. He was traveling everywhere, but in Bolivia he led a small band which was unlikely to succeed, just as Castro's band had been unlikely to succeed, but it had. And he was tracked down by the Bolivian military. The president of the country at the time, Senor Barrientos, then gave an order to shoot Che, where the plan had been to capture him and put him on trial as a revolutionary, as leading to upset in the Bolivian country at the time. That's the short version. The even shorter version is that the man who was tasked, a 26-year-old non-commissioned officer, whose name was Mario Terán, lived his life. He died in March of this year at the age of 80. Lived his life denying that he was the man who shot Che Guevara. Even though he was pictured in Perry Match early on, and everybody said, "That's you." And he would say, "No, there are several Mario Terans. It's not me. It's not me," right to the end. It weighed on him what happened and why. Does the legend, the legacy of Che Guevara, which was dominant when I was a young person, does that still obtain here in the 21st century? Or is this lost in the footnotes of history, Professor?
The legacy of Che Guevara lives on not only in his personal legacy, but also in the many currents of what I would call Latin American romanticism that it taps into. So, you know, when we talk about just a few minutes ago, the Colombian presidential election, in understanding the appeal that Petro and his rhetoric have, although some would say that his economic plans are deeply troubling, you know, you have to understand a little bit about the Latin American hopes and dreams. And when you look at Che, and as you alluded to, Fidel Castro, you have to understand that there is a dramatic difference between the power of perceptions and hopes in Latin America and the historic realities. As you pointed out, Fidel Castro was largely disastrous as a actual tactical leader of guerrilla movements. He failed in his boat landing. He fled into the hills. It was largely others who did the heavy legwork of the Cuban Revolution, and then Fidel Castro jumped in on top. You know, for those who know Che by the Motorcycle Diaries and other things. The reality was that he had a certain role in inspiring revolution, running around the Congo, Tanzania, Vietnam, Europe. But as Bolivia illustrates, probably as a military leader in Latin America, in a region in some ways ripe for revolution, he was also a disaster. So Che had the mistaken idea that the Bolivian Altiplano, these exploited indigenous peoples, were ripe for revolution. The reality was that they are still conservative that they very rapidly gave up Che's position. And in the ultimate fight, it went very badly for Che's small group. It was relatively easy for him not only to be detected, but for to be tracked down. However, as you point out, the romance of what Che represented, despite the military reality, in terms of Che being on T-shirts, if you want to represent yourself as a Latin American kind of progressive leftist non-traditional thinker, Che becomes a motif for that. But the other thing I think it's important when we talk about Sergeant Turan is in Latin American militaries, by contrast to U.S. militaries, the non-commissioned officer corps is a much, has much fewer privileges. There's almost a classism there. It's something that we in the U.S. are working in our engagement today to try to rectify. But especially back then, in a deeply conservative hierarchical society like Bolivia, I feel sorry for this poor NCO who probably received this very unpleasant order, which he had absolutely no choice. Okay, you're going to have to kill this man in cold blood. And we hear some of the accounts of how difficult it was for him. But sadly, after that, again, being relatively exposed, he then had to realize that just about every leftist or other in Latin America would have it out for him once in a very unwise way word got out that he was the one who had actually killed Che. And so this poor man who had probably, very little economic opportunity and, very little choice ended up spending his life in hiding, only at the very end being recognized for this. And so it tells you something about Latin American society. It tells you something about the NCO Corps. And it tells you something about the differences between the reality of Che and the romance of Che. But certainly that romance continues to inspire Latin America to other unwise things like the election of Gustavo Petro in Colombia today.
Yes, we're going to turn to the legend of Che, true or not true, in not just Colombia, where Gustavo Petro is identified as an ex-Marxist guerrilla. That roughly describes the opinion of Che and Fidel Castro and the Castro brothers in the 1960s. This was the Cold War, Vietnam, civil rights. In France, there was a revolution that would lead to a confrontation in 1968 with the longtime famous leader de Gaulle. I could go on and on and on. Mao, everything associated around Che attached to him. But today, 55 years later, does it still attach? Do people still praise him or sing of him or imagine that a young leftist leader such as Gabriel Boric in Chile can be a Che revived? This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.